Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Did you ever see the movie The Blob, starring Steve McQueen?
The blood-curdling threat of The Blob.
Well, way back when, Eric had a small part in that film, but they had to cut his scene because The Blob was supposed to eat him, but he kept spitting him out. Oh, the whole thing was just a disaster. Anyway, here's the guy who's not always that easy to digest, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the program. Chris, it's Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you. Today's Taco Tuesday at the Beach Cafe.
Muy bueno.
70th and 2nd Avenue. Okay, so today,
yes,
in hour one, we're going to talk about Iran with our friend Mike Wilkerson.
Yeah.
He's kind of an expert on that stuff. So we're going to be talking about that situation and other things with him. In hour two.
Yeah.
Albin Sadar. Remember Albin?
Oh, yeah.
From the old neighborhood?
It's like Elvis left the building, but only to come back.
And he came back. He's sitting in the room right now, yes, staring at, yes, us. But Albin is going to interview me about my new book. I have a new book out. It's a sequel to Letter to the American Church.
Yeah.
It's called Religionless Christianity. That's a Bonhoeffer phrase. And Albin, in hour two, is going to interview me. It's going to be wacky.
He's got some questions from the YouTubers out there. So there's some questions.
It's going to be fun. So that's what's happening today. Later today, I will be interviewing Dog the Bounty Hunter. Ladies and gentlemen, Dog will be in the house, not in the doghouse. He'll be in this house, in this studio. Dog will be here.
Yeah.
And I'm interviewing Dog. And I got to tell you, I take tremendous pride in going from Jordan Peterson,
yeah,
to Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's who I am. I'm eclectic. And I really enjoy that, the chiaroscuro, the breadth, it actually is so funny to me. The Jordan Peterson thing, we played it again yesterday because it's kind of dense,
yeah,
and it's not everybody heard it last week, so we played it again yesterday, and I was able to listen to it while I was running in Central Park yesterday. And it's there's just something inherently funny to me, and I don't mean funny like ha-ha funny, but there's something delightful to the point of making me laugh with joy,
yeah,
when I listen to Jordan Peterson, because, yeah, there's something elliptical about him. Like, you ask a question and he just goes in these, I don't know, he just takes it
into
some...
It's like intellectual jazz is how I describe his as content.
Maybe.
You're kind of nodding your head and tapping your toe and you're not sure where it's going, and then it comes back in. It's like, that was very good.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Today, I'm talking to Mike Wilkerson. Albin Sadar will be here to interview me about my new book, Religionless Christianity. And then later today, we'll probably air it tomorrow, I'm talking to Dog.
Yeah.
What am I going to ask Dog? We'll find out.
You ask him if you have any warrants out there. Maybe don't ask him, actually.
Is he still doing that?
I don't know if he ever stopped doing it. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I've never been a bounty hunter, but I can imagine.
Maybe this is a ruse just to arrest us.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually concerned about that.
I want to talk about my schedule. I have been bouncing around the country. I was in Nashville for a family wedding.
Mm-hmm. Did you catch the bouquet?
And I know, no, sadly, but it was my cousin Marion's son, Alex, who got married. And it's just being with family. It's just one of the delights of my life. My cousins, my mom's sister, my Tante Eleanor, her daughters, Eleanor and Marion, they were like sisters to me. And the idea that Marion was the mother of the groom and that we were all there together, it was just a great joy to be with them in the Nashville. It was in Franklin, actually.
Yeah.
And then I flew from there to Ohio because Tim Sheets, some people know Dutch Sheets.
Yeah.
Dutch Sheets has a brother with a much more normal first name. I wanted his name to be Butch, but it's not. It's Tim.
Yeah.
So Tim Sheets has an extraordinary church. Tim Sheets is himself extraordinary. And yes, Chris, can
I help
you?
I'm just giggling like a funny name would have if his name was Shim. shim sheets and Dutch sheets.
I don't know that I...
Shim sheets. It's just hard to... It's just kind of funny.
I don't get it.
It's
but,
just...
Well, Dutch sheets, every time you say it to somebody who doesn't know who Dutch is, they go like, Dutch sheets, what? But anyway, Dutch is a hero. But his brother, Tim, is equally amazing. And he has a church in Ohio. And I was there on Sunday for a screening of Letter to the American Church. Mm. A Letter to the American Church is a film. If you haven't seen it yet, folks, you know, I haven't, I don't know that I've really pushed on this, but if you personally have not seen it, please go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com. Please. I'm asking you a favor. You need to see this. You need to spread the word. We need to wake up the American Church. It's why I wrote the book Letter to the American Church, and it's why we made the film Letter to the American Church. So there was a screening of the film his church in Ohio, and it's about halfway between Cincinnati and Akron, I think.
Hmm.
But what's weird is when I landed at the Cincinnati airport and I stayed at the Cincinnati Airport Hotel,
yeah,
the Cincinnati airport,
yeah,
and the Cincinnati Airport Hotel,
yeah,
are in Kentucky.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is strange.
I said, what am I doing in Kentucky? I thought I'm in Cincinnati. They're like, well, it's right across the river, so you're just about in Cincinnati, but you're in Kentucky.
It seems like you were, you know, you could get some real moonshining done over there, you know, across state lines.
I wouldn't talk about it, but I did a lot of moonshining because I've got a still in the woods in Kentucky, yeah, and I didn't want you to bring that up. But it's just who I am. I'm not ashamed of it. But I don't speak a lot about it publicly. But anyway, I spoke after they screened the film Letter to the American Church at Tim Sheets's church in Ohio.
Yeah.
I spoke there. And then finally yesterday, I came home.
Just back to the lettertotheamericanchurch.com. You can watch the film a bunch of different ways. You can buy it on DVD. You can watch a rental. And you can sign up for a screening or find out a screening near you and see it for free there.
There are a million screenings around the country. If you go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com, you can see the list and the dates of screenings. These are free screenings. You know, if you don't want to help us make our money back and see it at the site, you can go to a free screening, and you can bring friends. It's important.
And we hope to actually get it in some theaters as we get close to the election time, I think. We can do a sort of an event maybe in September.
It's just about saving America. That's all, folks. It's about saving America for God's purposes, about waking up the church. I mean, I've done innumerable interviews on this. In fact, literally in the cab on the way here today, I did an interview with the Washington Times talking about the new book, Religionless Christianity, which is just a follow-up to Letter to the American Church. But I didn't think that I would be writing books specifically for the church, but both of these books are, obviously, and all the other books I write are meant for everybody. So they're read by many people who are Christians, but I don't write it exclusively for Christians. These two books are exclusively speaking to the church. You know, I don't want to forget this. This weekend, I'm going to be in California. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, that's exactly how you say it.
I'm going to be in California in San Marcos.
Gavin Newsom.
Speaking at Greg Denham's church. It's Rise Church in San Marcos. That is the morning service this Sunday. Man.
It's coming up.
I'm getting around.
And I want to say, too, we should mention that the Jordan Peterson interview, it's going to be an hour-long primetime special on TBN. Next Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, next Friday.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
9 o'clock. So
that's exciting. Okay.
It's going to be on after Stackelback.
A couple things before we go to our guest. I want to remind you to please support the sponsors on this program. By standing with them, you also stand with this program. Go to, for example, MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. If you use the code ERIC, you get tremendous discounts. People often say to me, where would you like me to buy your books? And there's two answers to that. You can go to ericmetaxas.com. You can get signed copies of my books at ericmetaxas.com. Almost all my books, you can get a signed version if you want it as a gift. You go to ericmetaxas.com, and there's like a little, what do they call that? Like when you go to the book, there's like a little menu when you click on it, and it can give you either just the book or you can
drop down.
The drop down.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So if you want a signed copy of my book or any of my books, you can go to ericmetaxas.com. But if you go to MyStore.com. Some of my books have deep discounts if you use the code ERIC. So MyStore.com. Please help support the team. MyStore.com, EricMetaxas.com. We'll be back with Mike Wilkerson. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Folks, welcome back. As promised, I sit here now with my friend Michael Wilkerson. Mike, welcome.
Thank you.
In case people don't know who you are, you're Mike Wilkerson. I just said that. You're also the founder of Stormwall Advisors. You're the host of Stormwall.com. Check it out, Stormwall.com. And you're the author of a tremendous book. It is called Why America Matters. I have recommended it, and I recommend it. But we're here today, Mike, to talk about Iran and Israel. You've written about it at Stormwall.com. What's your sense of where we are? Today is Tuesday, the 16th of April. What happened? Why did it happen? And where do we go from here?
Well, we are in a very dangerous place, and we are moving up the escalation ladder of conflict globally. So what happened? So last week, media started to pick up that Iran was making preparations for some sort of an attack on Israel.
I was wondering, by the way, I don't know if you have an answer, but I was wondering why we were getting this advance information.
So it is interesting. What happened? Let's just quickly go over the facts and then come back to that question, because I think it's very important. Saturday night, Iran attacked Israel with a barrage of hundreds of missiles, cruise missiles, and drones, aerial assault. It was very visible. Israel saw it coming. The drones were very slow moving. And Israel's defense forces along with allies, U.S. and others, in a coordinated effort, shot down or otherwise destroyed some 99%. So an ineffectual barrage.
Yeah.
Now, it raises a number of questions. Why was this telegraphed? Why was it known? What was Iran trying to accomplish with this? Was it purely symbolic? Was there something more? But it was unprecedented because this was the first time that Iran has directly attacked Israel.
Okay, that's interesting because I was myself wondering about that. The idea of Iran attacking Israel, it's a little chilling because that's never happened before. They've threatened Israel. They've attacked Israel through proxies. Obama and the Biden administrations have given Iran money naively, which they have used to funnel through Hamas and other terrorist organizations to attack Israel. But yes, they have never themselves done it. So why do you suppose now they would be open in attacking Israel?
So in the past, as you mentioned, they've used proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, ISIS, other forces, with the intention of having at least some plausible deniability, some ability to distance themselves, say, no, it wasn't us. It had happened elsewhere. They took this decision willingly, consciously, aware of the consequences. It was not a decision taken lightly. You ask why? Well, I believe because they recognize that this moment that they have today under a Biden administration that has proven itself to be weak and ineffectual, having lost its prestige and its effectiveness in diplomacy globally, following the withdrawal from Afghanistan, following Ukraine and attempted sanctions against Russia and all the disaster that we've seen unfold. We're going now into the third year of the war in Ukraine, by the way. Recognizing that all of this may change in a year if President Trump is reelected or something else happens. They sense a moment. I sense a moment of weakness and an opportunity here to do something that they haven't done. At the same time, I believe they're very aware that they are playing a dangerous game. They are bringing the world closer to nuclear conflict,
yeah,
to World War III. I don't use those words lightly, but that is what they're doing. And so I do believe that there was a degree of restraint on Iran's part as well.
Now, why? This is what's not clear to me. I mean, first of all, we have to reiterate, America is a laughingstock. Joe Biden is an ineffective buffoon. It's a staggering thing, what happened in Afghanistan. I mean, one thing after another, disaster after another, projection of weakness that has invited, what happened with Russia attacking Ukraine. It's invited any number of things. Clearly, it invited the attack on Israel on October 7th. It's this projected weakness. And so you're now saying that they realize that, hey, they might not have so much time. Okay. So they better take advantage while he is in office. And we have to also say that it's so pathetic. I mean, when he said, don't, you know, just don't. Well, if somebody like Joe Biden says, just don't, that's the invitation. Like, oh, yeah, what are you going to do? We know the answer is nothing. So we're going to do it and we're going to laugh in your face. So that's effectively what they did. But my question is, why then, having determined that this is their opportunity, would they do something so measured? I don't quite understand that. What do you think is behind them doing something that was not, you know, it was not an all-out attack. It was measured.
Even if you look at the behavior of the U.S. and the Soviet Union in the Cold War, there was a lot of actions, a lot of aggressions, but there was always an awareness that one wrong move could trigger an apocalypse, an apocalyptic situation, yep, and that would result in the destruction not just of your enemy but of one's own civilization. So under Khrushchev, engaging with Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, president, behind the scenes to try to pull back the hardliners on both sides that wanted to launch an attack on Cuba around the missile crisis, wanted to do all sorts of things, it would have ratcheted up so quickly,
right,
that both nations would have been annihilated from nuclear armaments.
Yeah.
Iran is aware of that history, is aware that they are playing a dangerous game, that if they ratchet up too quickly without restraint, that Iran itself, the regime, would be at greater risk. I don't think they particularly care about their own people. I mean, we've seen Iran has been under sanctions of one form or another for 50 years. The regime has maintained its power. The people have suffered and suffered and suffered. And this is the problem, by the way, with only using sanctions as your one, as the one hammer in the toolbox, and every problem's a nail. If you try to use economic sanctions against Iran, against Russia, against whomever, those sanctions eventually become ineffective because these nations create barriers and sanction-proof and find new trading partners, new alliances. We've pushed Russia into the hands of China as a result of our actions.
And that we have to – I just have to hit pause and say – that right there needs to be understood. The foolish foreign policy of first the Obama administration, now the Biden administration, has pushed Russia into the arms of our enemy, China. It's an unbelievable thing. And that's why, as we're talking about the potential of World War III, it's because we have treated Russia. Because that's kind of behind all this, isn't it? That Iran is playing this game. Russia is sort of lining up with them, with China. I guess I still don't understand why it was measured. In other words, why attack at all if it's going to be measured? Is this part of some larger end game? I'm assuming it is.
I think it is part of a larger end game. But let's close the point that you're just making here. If you think about where we were, the United States, in relationship with Russia at the end of the Trump administration, we were actually in a decent place. In spite of the Russian collusion hoax, all the nonsense that was going on, the Russia did it narrative that was being repeated every time something bad happened anywhere in the world, what happened after that was we took someone, a nation, Russia, historically Christian, historically European, with the potential to be, not saying they would have been our best friends, but somewhere between a neutral and perhaps an ally, a weak ally, strategically an ally, against in a conflict with China.
Right.
We have now ensured that the largest nuclear power in the world and one of the largest economies in the world in terms of energy, gold, all that other stuff that actually matters, food production, and we've ensured that they now will be aligned against us if we are in a hot conflict with China. The worst strategic decision that the Biden administration made or allowed to happen.
And in a nutshell, why? So that neocons could make money off of war with Iran? I'm sorry. So neocons could make money off of war with Ukraine? It doesn't make normal sense. Why would we do that? Why would we poke the Russian bear? Why would we side with Ukraine? Why would we say to Ukraine, you need to be part of NATO? Why do we need NATO? What sense can we make of this?
Well, I think you said it right. The whole complex of our foreign policy offices, departments, everything that we have done for 50 years, 70 years, was positioned to have an enemy. That enemy was the Soviet Union. We tried to pretend that it wasn't. That wasn't working in terms of accomplishing the foreign policy objectives, in terms of U.S. national interests, the military-industrial complex in particular. Reigniting a war with Russia, which, by the way, began in 2014 when Undersecretary Victoria Nuland facilitated a coup in the Ukraine. It happened that year with the murder of the Russian-speaking people in the Donbass territories, and it went on for nearly a decade before the special military operation in 2022.
Let's revisit this, because this is very important that we lay the groundwork for where we are today. I'm talking to Mike Wilkerson, the founder of Stormwall Advisors, host of Stormwall.com. And I just can't Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's NutraMedix.com. NutraMedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, NutraMedix, NutraMedix.com. NutraMedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do.
Welcome back, folks.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and legacy precious metals is the gold standard. I love legacy precious metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
I'm talking to Mike Wilkerson. He's the host of Stormwall.com, author of Why America Matters. We're talking now about how we got here, how we got to a place where neocons and the Democrats have turned Russia into our enemy. And you talk about how in 2014, Victoria Nuland in the Obama administration facilitated a coup in the leadership of Ukraine. Clearly Joe Biden is involved in this somehow. I don't know how. But it's very dark when we have people in an American administration doing things that are not in the best interest of the United States of America. It seems to me lining their pockets or making a play for a world where they can get rich. What was going on with the Obama administration in 2014 and the Ukraine? Why would they have done this?
Well, Ukraine is a strategic interest for someone who believes that they are a global empire. Ukraine has never been in the U.S.'s strategic interest if you consider the interests of the United States as a nation, America as a people. But when you think about this conflict with Russia, when you think about the vast energy reserves, the vast agricultural reserves of the Ukraine, there is an enormous amount of wealth agriculturally, minerals, et cetera. And that's valuable. And we in the U.S., in government, wanted to be able to control it. It also has to do with European energy supply and security. It is no coincidence that shortly after the conflict began that Nord Stream was sabotaged, that the consequence of that was that Russian gas stopped flowing to Europe, and it's been replaced by United States liquid natural gas, LNG, to our benefit. It will be U.S.-based firms that will have the benefit of reconstruction. Essentially, the neocons in this part of this very dark web are using Ukraine as a pawn in a gigantic global chess game. and using the civilians of Ukraine, 500,000 dead so far are the most conservative estimates, probably more, as part of this game without regard to consequence or the human lives, the impact that this has had.
Okay, so take us back to Israel and Iran. So now we've just – obviously October 7th we had the attack on Israel, unprecedented. The Biden administration has been calling for restraint on the part of Israel. And then recently we had the Iranian attack, direct attack on Israel. I want to ask you again. So Iran does this. It's sort of measured, and it almost looks like they did it for show. Did they? Why would they do that?
Well, there is a symbolic element for sure. They are establishing a new relationship with Israel, saying we can get to you. This was more than show in the sense that, yes, they wanted to communicate messages, but they also did it to test the perimeter, to understand how the defense system worked, to understand what the U.S. would do in response, to understand what the other nations of the West would do in response. In other words, they learned a lot from this.
Let me just say that if October 7th hadn't happened and Iran had done this, there probably would have been a direct, very strong counterattack. They would have been sorry big time. But they knew that because of the hostility of many around the world to Israel over what they're doing in Gaza, Iran made this calculation. We think we can get away with this now.
That's right. If you think about what happened last fall, the terrorist attack, Hamas terrorist attack on Israeli soil, this was a call to arms. This was a global call to jihad. And what most people don't appreciate is that for the radical Islamists in Iran, the Shia government, and Muslims, radicalized Muslims around the world, Israel is the mortal enemy. This will never be understood in geopolitical, geostrategic, geoeconomic terms. This is a spiritual issue. Israel is the enemy of Islam. A radicalized view believes that Israel must be destroyed, that in order to usher in the Islamic reign, the next caliphate, that Israel must be destroyed, and that Islam, the black flags, will be foisted over Jerusalem. So without understanding this, it's very hard to interpret what's going on. But the Hamas attack last fall basically created an environment in which there was a permission given of sorts in spiritual terms and in religious terms, a call to jihad for radical Muslims around the world.
Okay, so going back to what Iran did the other day, you said to some extent they were, you know, testing. This was measured. They made a decision. Why? First of all, why do you think they telegraphed the move? Why was it not 100% surprise? Did they want Israel to be prepared? Was this kind of a chest beating thing for their Muslim Islamic allies around the world, just to show that we can do something? Because it doesn't seem like they really wanted to destroy Israel this time. This was just somehow a show.
Yes. That's why I would say that it was restrained, that it was to some degree intentionally communicated. As, by the way, in the days before Russia actually crossed the border into Ukraine, there were clear signals of intent, troop movements, all this sort of thing. At that point, Russia was still trying to negotiate to get something from the West, from the U.S. In this case, I believe it was, again, because they realized that they're playing an extremely dangerous game, that they were communicating what they were going to do in a way that leaves open the door for it to end there. I don't believe it will.
Okay, hang on. We're going to go to a break here. We're talking to Mike Wilkerson. You can find him at stormwall.com. Back I like knowing exactly where my meat comes from. And with Moink, that place is from small family farms all across the country. And you can help save the family farm and get access to the highest quality meat when you join the Moink movement today. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and that means meat tastes like it should. Moink delivers grass-fed beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon delivered straight to your door. The Moink difference is one you can taste, and you can feel good knowing you're helping family farms stay financially independent, too. Keep American farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Eric right now, and listeners of this show get free bacon for a year. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes, chicken breasts, pork chops, or salmon fillets, and so much more, plus a free year of bacon, and you can cancel at any time. That's one whole year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but only for a limited time. Spelled M-O-I-N-K, box.com/Eric. That's moinkbox.com/Eric, moinkbox.com/Eric.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about Iran and Israel. My guest is Mike Wilkerson, the host of Stormwall.com. So, Mike, once again, Iran made a calculated move. Where do you think this goes from here? As of today, which is the 16th of April, Israel has not retaliated, but they have made noises that that they will at some point. They're kind of, you know, reserving that for when they want to do it. I'm not sure what's going on, but what do you suppose could happen going forward?
Well, I think first of all that Israel has shown a great deal of restraint. They could have done more sooner. They are trying to undertake a measured response, and of course they're trying to bring their allies along, including the United States. Unfortunately, the Biden administration came out immediately saying that they would not support Israel doing anything, any offensive operations against Iran. I don't know how you consider offensive when you're being rained down upon by missiles and you're surrounded on all sides by
Well,
your enemies.
I mean, listen, I far be it from me to want to ever agree with the Biden administration, but I guess the issue here, it strikes me, is that if Israel were to do what we would all here say it would be a fair thing to do, would be to counterattack. They've just been attacked. That could rather quickly, genuinely invite World War III. Like, it could happen tomorrow. I think that that's not an exaggeration. So that's the reason for them to hang on, to hold back.
I agree. What I was saying was that the U.S. didn't have to come out and say, we're not going to be behind you. I think that was a mistake. I think they could have said less or said something different to greater effect. Israel's right to be cautious here for the reasons you mentioned. What's happened in the last few years, by the way, is that Iran now has increased its uranium refining capability, has a stockpile that is some 6 or 7 times greater than the maximum amount that would have been allowed under the Iran nuclear deal, which wasn't a great deal, but that limit has now been exceeded by a multiple. They now have uranium enriched to roughly 60%, which is roughly the bare minimum needed for weapons grade uranium. And according to the Atomic Energy Commission, they in all likelihood have enough uranium refined to develop 3 atomic bombs. So we are at a stage where as we are moving up the escalation ladder, we are, as it was described about 1914, sleepwalking towards disaster. We are moving further and further. Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Hamas, now Iran getting directly involved in the Middle East, in the most dangerous part of the world, moving ever more closely towards World War III, a nuclear confrontation, and what could be an apocalyptic level of disaster.
It's pretty horrifying. Now, there are many people, you know, who are, you know, professional eschatologists who say, yep, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have World War III with Russia, with China, with Iran attacking Israel. Do you have a sense of any of that, where this could go, where it might go?
Well, what's fascinating to me is you look at how Muslim apocalyptic literature has evolved over the last 50 years. The Quran itself doesn't speak to the end times specifically. There's not a lot in that or in the hadiths about the last days. But roughly concurrent with the rise of interest in end times studies in evangelicalism, in Christianity, the Muslim Islamicists, the radicalized ones, picked up on a lot of this from the Bible, from the book of Daniel, from the book of Revelation, and incorporated it into their own views of how the world would end. They inverted the heroes and the villains, and they see that Israel is the villain, is the dragon, the red dragon that the of Revelation 12 that describes this fire-breathing dragon coming after a woman and her child, the woman being spiritually Israel and the church. And they invert that and say the child, the woman, the child are the Muslims, that the dragon is Israel and the Zionist conspiracy.
I have not heard this. It's almost funny. They take our story. They don't have a story. They take our story and they invert it to make Israel out to be the red dragon. I mean, that's pretty...
That is correct. Now, what are the consequences of that? Understand that anyone who believes this wants to see Israel annihilated. They believe in this same theology that the reason that Israel has been allowed to exist, that Allah permitted it not to give the Jews a state, but to bring them back to one place so that they could be destroyed as a group.
You know what? I don't think I've heard that. That's really diabolical. So the radical Islamicists believe that the reason – I'm just repeating what you just said, but just to get it in my head – that the reason that Allah, their God, allowed the Jews to come to their homeland is so they could be all in one place to be murdered. To be wiped out.
That is the belief.
I have never heard that. That's kind of
diabolical.
That's sick and diabolical.
And so this, of course, Iran has officially said that that Israel is their enemy.
Yeah.
The little Satan, the United States, is the great Satan.
Yeah.
But they are determined, as a matter of official public policy, to destroy Israel. The question is how. The question is when. The question is when would they be able to do it, under what circumstances, etc. But this is not something that has just occurred to them as an idea. It doesn't have anything specifically to do with the conflict with Hamas or with Gaza or with Palestine. They could care very little about the actual civilians of Palestine.
Right.
What they care about is their geopolitical agenda and what they believe to be their religious duty.
Before we go to a break, I want to remind you, if you have not signed up for Socrates Plus, you have to go to Socrates in the City. I interviewed Mike Wilkerson about his book, Why America Matters, for a special edition of Socrates in the Studio. The only way to see that is to sign up for Socrates Plus. If you go to SocratesInTheCity.com, you can see how to sign up. There's so much stuff there. We have another episode of A Gentleman's Guide. This one's in Philadelphia. That'll be coming out soon. But all of our Socrates in the Studio sessions are available only if you're a subscriber to Socrates Plus. And I should mention before we go to the break, we have a Socrates in the City happening here in New York City with the biographer Ron White talking about Lincoln. That's exciting. That's going to be happening May 16th. And if you want to watch that on live stream, you have to sign up for Socrates Plus. So go to Socrates in the City and sign up today. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Talking to Mike Wilkerson about Iran and Israel. Mike, I just was going to say that one of the things that I find interesting is that the Obama administration and the Biden administration seem utterly ignorant of what we've just been talking about, which is the Islamic end time game, that they want to wipe out Israel and America. They want to establish a caliphate. For some reason, the Democrats, they were always naive with regard to evil. They were naive with regard to the Soviet Union and its plans. They were they seem unwilling to accept the idea that there's real evil and very aggressive evil in the world that wants to take over the world. In this case, that wants to wipe out the Jews. They kind of act like, well, that's not true. Iran can be reasoned with. We're going to give them money. We'll make friends with them. Isn't that what got us to this new precipice?
I think for the Biden administration, for the Obama administration, Israel is a nuisance. It's an annoyance. It just gets in the way and causes a lot of problems. And so you're absolutely right. They would refuse to see this in any sort of construct of an actual good or an actual evil, because they don't live in a world in which those things exist in any true form. It's all about power, and it's all about knowledge as you define it. Truth is about being able to create a narrative for them that maintains their position. If they could wipe Israel off the map, I don't think they would particularly care.
Right. Well, they wouldn't care. That's one part. But the other part is that, I mean, it's very similar to, people, whether it's, you know, Chamberlain in England, people who don't take seriously these claims. In other words, when Hitler says, I'm going to do these things, they say, well, he's just talking or it doesn't matter. In this case, it's even more dramatic. You have people who have a religious fervor who say they want every Jew to die. They want to wipe out Israel. And this is part of their view of history. But I just get the impression that the people in the State Department generally, but people in the Biden and Obama administrations in particular, they absolutely don't seem to think about this. They act, when they're dealing with Iran, they act like, well, we're dealing with France or we're dealing with – they don't seem to take that aspect of it seriously.
In almost every public speech that the Iranian presidents, foreign ministers, any serious or senior leader, secular leader, or the religious clerics, death to Israel, death to the Jews. This is a mantra. This is something that is firmly believed, and that they have, as we've described, a messianic view of the need to carry it out.
Yeah.
And that Iran, given its history, must take the lead in this responsibility to annihilate Israel, to annihilate the Jewish state. And we refuse to see it. We, as a government, to your point, we refuse to acknowledge that this is driven by a religious fervor that will not abate unless and until that regime, the Islamic regime in Iran, is taken out of power. It is not the view, I don't believe, of the majority of the populace of Iran. These are people who love their families, who want to carry on and have a good life and want to modernize the nation, which has gone back 100 years in history. Iranian women were much more free in 1950 than they are today. It has been a disaster for half of their population, who now lives as slaves in many respects.
It's unbelievable. And I believe it was under the Obama administration that we had an opportunity to help the people of Iran rise up against their, you know, mullah, against their government, the mullahs, and we didn't. It's just interesting to me. It seems like Obama and this administration, which are very similar, they don't see any of this the way we see it. When we come back in hour two, I want to ask you again where you think this is going. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about Iran. I'm talking to Mike Wilkerson, author of Why America Matters. Don't go away.